ॐ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
सो इन् दिस् ब्यूटिफुल् मिक्स्चर् आफ् पोयट्री एण्ड् highest Vedantic knowledge, people usually think 11th chapter is just Bhagwan's Vishwarupa, but as we shall see today, it's not only the cosmic form of the Lord, where the entire universe is seen by Arjuna in the Bhagwan, in the Lord, in Sri Krishna, but also we shall see that some of the highest Vedantic truths are covered in this particular chapter when Arjuna is doing the stuti, the praise of Sri Bhagwan Sri Krishna and praising him and talking about the glory of this cosmic beautiful form that he's seeing. And we see a mixture of emotions in the Arjuna's expressions. First, as we saw, there was wonder at this beautiful form with all its ornaments and perfumes and garlands. And then the second aspect we saw was fear when Bhagavan showed his Rudra Rupa or the fearful form where the mouth is open, filled with fire, blazing fire, and all the beings are going in just as the Yatha Nadinam Bahavogbhuveg, just as the rivers go into the ocean, Yatha Pradeeptam Jwalanam Patanga, just as the moths go into the fire, he sees all these warriors of both sides going into the fire. As we know, war, there is a lot of death and destruction, and Arjuna is able to see that. So he's not only seeing what is happening in Kurukshetra, but what is happening in all the heavens, all the worlds, everywhere. He says they are all amazed. Even the gods in heaven are wondering what is this form. So there is wonder, there is fear, and the next aspect we see is devotion, extreme love for God and extreme feeling of surrender. And we feel that, oh, why can't I see God like that? Maybe one day God will show his form to me like that, and then I will reach enlightenment. But the masters tell us that to see that God's form, even if you have seen it, but if your ego has not gone, this I and my, then your understanding is incomplete. like there may be a person who is very intuitive and he or she can see what is happening in the future, what is happening in other parts. There are, you know, mediums who help solve crimes where they, but what that could do is it could even increase your ego that I have so many powers, I have so much siddhis. So just removing space and time is not enough. We have to remove this ego, that is I and my. And that is the biggest problem for a lot of us. And very simple example, which we are all guilty of, we go to our children's performance at the school or in Bal Vihar or somewhere, and all the children are standing on the stage performing or singing. And what we do when we have our video camera or our phone, first we take off all the children and then we focus on our son or daughter, and 90% of the video is only showing my kid. That is ego, because they all are my children. So that understanding one has to have. And unless the ego goes away, my problems will not go away. Unless I lose this I and my, I will continue to have problems. If we want to get over worldly problems, we have to reduce this ego, which Arjuna has done by now. As we saw last week also, he has surrendered. As we talked, what is doing God's will is surrendering my will to God's will and making them synchronous, making them parallel, making them together. And in that alignment, there is no raga dvesha. There is no likes and dislikes. I'll do what I like and I won't do what I don't like. No, I will do what God likes, what God's wish is. And God has said that very clearly in the fourth chapter. He says, dharma samsthapanaya bhavishyami yuge yuge. I come again and again. I present myself. I come. Why? To establish dharma and to remove adharma. So my goal should be to promote as much dharma, as much goodness, as much love, compassion, spread as much knowledge, and remove adharma, remove selfishness, remove anger, remove jealousy, remove hatred, greed. I start by removing it in myself, and then to the best of my ability, I spread this knowledge. So that is the dharma sansthapana, and that is what I have to do. And so being an instrument of God means that I have self-effort. It's not that I don't have self-effort, but my self-effort is to do what God would like and what is best for all, as Gurudev said, to give maximum happiness to maximum people for maximum time, which is the motto of our Chinmaya mission. So bringing that into my life is what is surrender, what is giving up of self-will. So Arjuna is slowly finding out that what is God's will and how I can surrender. And today's shlokas are not only filled with devotion, but the highest Vedantic knowledge. So we'll cover that. So chapter 11, verse 38. Tvamadi deva purusha puranah.
Tvamadi deva purusha puranah.
Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam.
Tvamasyam vishvasya parachinitanam.
Vetasi vedyam cha param cha dhama.
Vetasi vedyam cha param cha dhama.
Tvayatatam vishvam anantarupa.
Tvayatatam vishvam anantarupa.
Okay, you can pause and mute and we'll all sing together. Tvamadi deva purusha puranaha. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Vetasi vedyam cha param cha dhama. Tvayatatam vishvam anantarupa. So Arjuna tells to Bhagavan in this cosmic form, you are the Adi Deva. Tvam Adi Deva. You are the Adi Deva, means you are even before the all the gods, all the even before the creator, you are And you are the Purusha. Purusha is means Purnatvat iti Purusha, that which is complete. We'll talk more about Purusha in the commentary. And you are Purana, you are the ancient, the most ancient, before even time, even before there was time. How did time start? They say time was the interval between two thoughts. When the first beings were created and thoughts emerged, that's when time started. So before creation, when there was nothing except consciousness, there was no time, there was no past, present, future, because consciousness is eternal, is always there. So you are ancient. And Tvam Asya Vishvasya, Asya Vishvasya, of this Vishva, this universe, as we have talked before, universe is not only what we perceive, but what we hear, what we see, and also what we feel, what we think. So all emotions, all thoughts, all perceptions are universe. So Asya, of this universe, you are the Param Nidhanam, you are the supreme abode, you are the supreme support. Vetasi, you are the one that is the knower, and Vedyam, and you are the knowable. So you are the knower, and you are that which is to be known. Cha, and what are you? Paran cha dhama, param dhama. You are this supreme abode, supreme refuge, supreme abode. You are both. And Tvaya tatam, and by you, Tvaya is the third case, by you tatam, pervaded what? Vishwam, this entire universe is pervaded by you. You are not sitting somewhere outside up in heaven and far away from the universe. You are pervading each and every one of us. And you are Ananta Rupa. Rupa means forms. Ananta means endless forms. So there is no end to all your forms. That means all insects, birds, plants, animals, fish, even the inanimate objects, rocks, stones, rivers, mountains, everything is your form. So Adideva, we understood that even before the creator came, before Brahmaji came, you were there. And then from the Lord emerged Brahmaji. As we have talked before, from Narayan Bhagwan came the lotus where Brahmaji resided. And Brahmaji then created Prajapati, the creator, who then carried on the job of creation through power received from Brahmaji. So you are before that. Then you are Purusha. Purusha does not mean man, even though in some languages Purusha means man. Purusha has what it means is, as it said in Purush Suktam, Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksh Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atya Tishthat Tashangulam. So he says, this supreme consciousness has 1,000 heads, 1,000 hands, 1,000 feet. 1,000 is a way of saying it is countless. It is endless. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha, Sahasraksh, Sahasrapat, millions of eyes. Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva, pervading the entire universe, not only this world, all the 14 worlds, all the emotions and thoughts. Tatya tishtat dashangulam, and beyond that it is 10 fingers. What is the meaning of 10 fingers? In Purush Suktam it is explained very beautifully, because 5 are the sense organs and 5 organs of action. So 10 fingers means all the sense organs cannot perceive you, and the sense and the organs of action cannot reach you. My hands, my feet, my speech. None of the organs of action can reach. Even the highest teaching of the Upanishads cannot reach. So he's beyond that, he, that consciousness, beyond this universe. The Shangulam means beyond all the sense organs and organs of action. So that is the Purusha Suktam. Of course, then it goes on to, you know, describe the entire creation. And in a way, the 11th chapter is a commentary on the Purush Suktam, because a lot of the ideas of Purush Suktam are expressed in the 11th chapter. Not all of it, but many of the ideas are there, including how the world was created and everything. And then ancient, we talked about before time, Puranaha, Tvamasya Vishva, and also you are the Nidhanam, the abode, the support of this universe. Because all our objects, all our emotions, all our ideas, perceptions are not known to us unless consciousness, the self, the Lord is within us. If Lord is not present in me, then I won't be able to perform any activity and I won't be able to perceive the universe. So whatever is happening in the universe, whatever life is there, it is because of the Lord's presence. And everything depends on it. It is the support. So like we are supported by the earth, right? The earth is supporting us. Now, who is supporting the earth? We don't know. How is the earth rotating around the sun? Is there anything holding it? No, there is nothing. It is held by gravity. Then all these other galaxies and stars, and they are all rotating. Who is holding them in place? How is it that nothing collides with nothing and the comets go through and everything? So you are the abode, supreme abode. You are that which on which the whole universe depends. And you are the creator. From you emerged the universe. So that's what is understood in most of the scriptures. But the Upanishads, especially the Mandukya Upanishad, tell us there is no creation. There never was creation, there is not, and there never will be. So they say, how can you say that? There's no creation. I exist, you exist, this computer exists, the stars, the planets. How can you say there was no creation? So the whole Mandukya Upanishad talks about Ajatvat. Jata means creation, Ajat means no creation at all. So I'll try to explain that a little bit, because Gurudev in his commentary on the shloka has mentioned that the universe is upon the Lord just as a ghost is upon a post. What Gurudev means is that you see a post in the darkness, semi-darkness, and you think it is a ghost, or in our general Vedantic example, the rope and the snake that we see upon the rope. In the darkness, semi-darkness, you see the rope and you project a snake upon it. So Gurudev says this entire universe is a superimposition or projection upon this consciousness. So how do we say that there is no creation? How is there no creation? So let us look at some examples. Now say from a lump, a little bar of gold, I make a gold necklace, or a jeweler makes a gold necklace. Now, what does the necklace have? Only gold and nothing but gold, right? From gold, if a necklace comes out, it has to be gold. It can't be copper or silver or brass or metal. Suppose from mud, you make a pot. The pot is nothing but mud, even though you may color it and make it gold and give it a golden paint and all that and make it look like golden pot. When you go and try to sell it to the jeweler, he'll say, this is not even worth 10 rupees, you know, or 100 rupees. It is a mud pot. I'm not going to give you the price of gold, no matter how much you may make it look like gold. From a cow, what is born? A calf, right? A male or a female, a bull or a cow. From a fish is born a fish. From a bird is born a bird. From a human is born a human. You're not going to have a monkey, though some humans do behave like monkeys, but generally a human will give birth to a human. It's not going to give birth to some other species. So if from the same thing can only emerge, right? Something different cannot emerge. From mud, you cannot get gold or brass. Then how is it that from this consciousness, this world emerged, which has nothing of the qualities of consciousness? Because consciousness or Brahman is existent, ever existent. And what are we? Temporary. We are not permanent. That is permanent. From a permanent, how can this temporary come out? Brahman is all conscious, knows everything, total consciousness. You and I, we are ignorant. We know very limited. And also very temporary knowledge, we very quickly forget. Brahman is of the nature of ananda, bliss. So sat, chit, ananda. And we are sorrowful. You know, one problem or another problem, physical, emotional, intellectual. So we are everything opposite. Brahman is eternal, I am temporary. Brahman is knowledgeable, I am ignorant. Brahman is joyful, I am sorrowful. So we are totally opposite of what Brahman is. So how can we be emerge from Brahman? If we had truly come out from God, we would be Sat Chit Anand, we would be eternal, we would never perish, we would be joyful, we would be all-knowing. So that's why the Upanishads explain that it is a projection. So then we'd say, you mean that means I don't exist, you don't exist? No, we don't exist. My bank balance does not exist? No, it does not exist. My house, my million-dollar house? No. How about my new Mercedes? I just spent 90,000. Does not exist either. So what they are saying is that it is not a real existence. What it is a relative reality. So that makes us happy. Okay, thank you, Swamiji. At least you said relative reality. At least I have some reality. Yes. Swamiji's and masters tell us that we have a transactional reality. That means for functioning in this world, the Lord has created this world out of Maya, out of illusion. It is an illusory projection. Just as in my sleep, I create an illusory world of a dream in which I see everything, hear, smell, taste, touch. I deal with people. And even in dream, I have my karma. Say if I commit a murder in my dream, a dream murder, then there will be a dream police who will catch me and take me to the dream jail. So I will go through my karma. So similarly, in this dream world that the Lord has created, and why are we here? Because of our ignorance, because of our vasanas. So the Lord is the substratum on which this world is appearing, just as on a screen, the movie appears and looks very real. And in the movie also, if there is a villain who commits a murder, by the end of the movie, the hero catches him and takes him to jail. So we see the law of karma. So similarly, in this universe, you and I exist. And as long as we are under the influence of our vasanas, our ego, we are under the influence of karma, the law of karma. But the goal of enlightenment or the goal of this life is to go beyond this world of karma, go beyond I and my, and to realize my infinite nature as the consciousness that is my true nature. And on that consciousness, this world is projected. And so this body, mind, and intellect of mine is a projection upon that consciousness. So through the Vedantic teachings and through meditation, I go inward and realize my true nature. And that is what we are studying in all classes, in Thursday, in the Tattva Bodh. The same knowledge is being taught, you know, in a simpler way. On Wednesday, in the Vivek Chudamani, we are doing the same thing. So most of the scriptures take us to that. And we say we have heard that, but to abide in this knowledge can only happen by repeated listening. So Bhagavan says, you are, I am the knower and the knowable. That's what Arjuna tells Bhagavan. You are the knower and you are that which needs to be known. Okay. What it means is that, who is the knower? You say, I am the knower. But when I'm studying the Vedas or I'm studying Bhagavad Gita or I'm studying the Upanishads, I cannot study unless the consciousness in me is functioning. That's why in the 15th chapter, it says, Vedair anekair aham eva vedya vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. So Bhagavan says, I am the one that is known through the Vedas. I am the one who has created the Vedas. And Vedavid, and I am the one who is the knower of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. I am the one to be known through the Vedas. And I am the creator of the Vedas. So what it means is when the rishis in their meditation heard these Vedas, it was through the divine connection. And then they spoke. So he says, I created the Vedas through the rishis. And what is the topic of the Vedas? To know consciousness. So you are the knower and you are the knowable. Gurudev in his commentary says, when our mind becomes still in meditation and there are no other thoughts and we go into that samadhi state when we become one, then we perceive this consciousness as my own nature. So you are the knower and you are the knowable. You are the subject and you are the object. So the consciousness within me is the subject. My body, mind, and intellect are known to me. My ego is known to me. So they are all objects of my consciousness. And this whole universe that is known to me are also objects. But the Lord is not only in this universe. It is beyond, as we said in Purush Suktam, Tatyatishtat Dashangulam, 10 fingers beyond that. But you are pervading everything. Tvayatatam Vishwam Anantarupa. This, with endless forms, you are pervading the entire universe. So here we see Advaita, that there are no two. There is one consciousness on whom this entire universe is projected like an illusion. But the reality of this universe is only one. Even though the multiplicity we see, that is an illusory projection. Maya viva vijrim bayat yapi maha Dakshinamurti Stotram. Shankaracharya ji says, just as a magician creates the magical universe, you have created this universe. And it is, God is not only outside, but also inside as the knower. But people, what they do is they play tricks with God, or they think that somehow God will not find out what I'm thinking. This reminds me of a story. So there were these two thieves who had robbed a coin store. And so they stole 200 gold coins, you know, from the safe. And so they split 100, 100 each. And they were very happy carrying the coins in a bag. And as they were passing a church, suddenly they felt guilty. You know, they said, oh, you know, stealing is bad. You know, we robbed the store. How about we go inside and we confess? So they go into the church. The church is unlocked, but there is no priest there to hear their confession. So they said, we'll just confess to God ourselves. You know, there is no priest. He must have gone home. So they said, you know, how do we make up to God? You know, that is something bad we did. So one person makes a circle 1 foot on the floor. He draws with a pencil. And he says, God, I'm going to throw 100 coins up. Whatever falls in the circle is yours. Whatever falls outside the circle is mine. So he throws 100 coins up, 5 fall in the circle, 95 fall outside. So he picks up the 95, puts in the bag, and very honestly, he takes 5 gold coins and puts it in the church collection box. Okay, this is for the church collection. I at least did, you know, whatever I could. Now the second guy was a little smarter. We may think he's smarter. So he says, you know what, God, I won't bother you. You don't have to bend down and pick up the coins. What I'll do is I'll throw them up in the air. Whatever you want, you keep. Whatever falls on the ground is mine. So the point is that we have to recognize that God is inside and outside. All my ideas, all my thoughts are known to God. And here we see Arjuna speaking the highest Vedantic truth. And they just, these beautiful verses are just flowing from his lips. They're just one after the other, one truth after another truth. It shows that he has become one with that reality. And at this moment, it is the consciousness that is speaking through Arjuna. So most beautiful verses, great poetry, and great truth. We'll do verse number 39. Vayuryamognihi varunah shashankah.
Vayuramo agni varunam shashankah.
Prajapatistvam prapitamahascha.
Prajapatistvam prapitamahascha.
Namo namastestu sahasrakritvah.
Namo namaste sahasrakritvah.
Punascha bhuyopi namo namaste.
Punascha bhuyopi namo namaste.
Vayuryamognirvarunah shashankah. Prajapatistvam prapitamahascha namo namaste stu sahasrakritvah punascha bhuyopi namo namaste. So here Arjuna is bowing down in devotion, in total surrender. So he says Vayu. So in those days, in the Vedic times, they worship the celestial forces. They worship them as God. So Vayu, so the God of wind, Vayu. Yamaha, Yama is the God of death, of destruction. When at the time of death, it comes to take us. Agnihi, Agni is again fire. Varuna, Varuna is the God of the oceans, the God of water. Shashankaha is the moon. It's a beautiful name for Shasha, for moon called Shasha. Shasha Ankaha. Shasha means rabbit, Ankaha means mark. So it is the rabbit mark. So why do we call the moon the rabbit mark? Because when you look up in the sky, when there is a full moon, which when you see at the time of the moon, you'll see that the moon is not fully bright. In the middle of the moon, there is a little dark spot, like a mark. And in the Puranic, they thought it was like a rabbit. So that's why they call Shasha Ankaha, rabbit marked or hair marked. So that's what it says, Shashankaha. And Prajapati, Prajapati, as we said, is the creator from Brahmaji. Or you can say Brahmaji himself, Prajapati Tvam. No, this is Prajapati and you are the Prapitamaha. Pitamaha is Brahmaji, grandfather. Brahmaji is said to be the grandfather. Prapita means you are the great grandfather. So that means you are beyond even the creator. And namo namahate, and namah namah, I again and again bow down by repeating what he means 1,000 times, 100 times. Namo namahate tu astu, may there be to you 1,000 times, sahasra kritva, I bow down to you 1,000 times, countless times. And after bowing down 1,000 times, punaha bhuyo, again and again, api nama namate, may there be again and again prostrations to you. So Arjuna is prostrating to the Lord again and again, again and again. Why? Because he recognizes his great divinity. So when we say Vedic deities, that means the entire nature, you know, all the five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth are represented. When air and fire are mentioned, that means the other three are understood. That's how it is in our scriptures. Or sometimes they put Adi, etc. means that. So when the ears are mentioned, that means all the five sense organs are covered. So the entire five elements, you are the entire nature is you, and you are the one that is appearing in this entire universe. And when he says Prapita Mahascha, you are the great grandfather, what it means is you are in my parents. So we see God in our parents because it's because of them that we are here on this earth. So God is in my parents and my grandparents. So you are, he's prostrating to his parents. But they say that this knowledge comes gradually. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not sudden knowledge, but gradually this change happens where we see this wisdom dawning on us. And when that happens, then nothing you can do except bow down, except prostrate. And we see that in the temples, you know, people go around, they do parikrama, go around the temple and then bow down. Again, go around and bow down. 108 times sometimes people do that. And each time they bow down to God, showing their humility that God, it is because of you, everything is happening. Interestingly, when we went to Kailash a few years ago, around 2004 or 2005, it was very interesting to see, you know, Kailash is a holy place, not only for Hindus, but for Buddhists and for Jains also. And a lot of these Buddhist people would do the parikrama of 33 miles around Kailash, 33 miles, not walking, but they would lie down. They would get up, lie down, and where my head reaches, they would get stand up there, again stand up, again lie down. So they were doing a lying down parikrama of Kailash for 33 miles. I don't know how long it would take them. And some people have done so many. So the point is that even for us to walk, it was hard. You know, it was like 18,000, 19,000 feet. Breathing was difficult. But what this shows is their prostration shows their surrender, that I am secondary, you are the primary. And people say, I don't need to bow down to Swamis. I don't need to bow down to God. Bowing down is an act of surrender where you understand that God alone is everything. And the bowing is not to be done mechanically. At the end of the aarti, we say, Om Shri Gokul Krishnaya Namaha, Shri Chinmaya Sadgurave Namaha. That Namaha has to be mental. Mentally also, I have to bow down to the Guru and to God, that it is because of them that whatever I have. So this Namaha is not only mechanically done by the mouth, not only done by the head, but mentally I have to surrender and I have to understand that God's will and my will is one, Guru's will and my will is one. So that is true Namaha. Otherwise, just mechanically bowing down doesn't have any benefit. And this entire universe is pervaded by you. There is a beautiful saying by Thomas Vaughan, who was an English mystic. And he said, when he talks about the heaven and the earth, he said, let your heart be in heaven and let your hands be on the ground. You rise in piety and you bow down in charity. So what it means is my head and my heart should be in God in heaven, and my hands and feet should be on the ground serving. So on the earth, my job is to serve, and in heavens, I have to surrender my ego to God, and in love and reverence, I have to attach myself to God. That's why even the entire creation in Purush Suktam, again to quote another line, Nabhya Asid Antariksham Shishnav Dyav Samavartata Padbhyam Bhumir Disha Shrotrat Tatha Lokagum Akalpayan. So he says, from his Nabhi, from this Purusha, from his belly button came the entire space, from the head of God came the heavens, and from the feet came earth and all the directions. So what this is telling us, that this entire universe is a manifestation of that Supreme Purusha. And so our head, and even in the Jewish mysticism, they say, what is man and woman's goal? Feet should be on the ground, head should be in heaven. So the point is that I should all the time be connected with God, but in the world, I should do my duty and serve and make this world a better place. So very, very beautiful shloka, and also a little difficult to chant because a lot of, you know, it's the faster pace, and also has a lot of difficult tongue twisters. So, but it is a joy, maybe in the Gita chanting, not now, but after a couple of chapters, we'll do the 11th chapter so we can learn how to chant, but we'll do some other chapters first and then we'll do the 11th chapter. So today, next, we'll do verse number 40. Here Arjuna is bowing down again. Namah purastadath prishtataste.
Namah purastadath prishtataste.
Namostute sarvata eva sarva.
Namostute sarva eva sarva.
Ananta viryamita vikramastvam.
Ananta viryamita vikramastvam.
Sarvam samapnoshi tato si sarvaha.
Sarvam samapnoshi tato si sarva.
Together. Namah purastadatha prishtataste. Namostute sarvata eva sarva.
Anantavīryāmitavikramastvam sarvam samāpnoṣi tatosi sarvah.
Beautiful verse. So namaha. Again he says, I bow down. That's why we meet people, we say namaskara or namaste. Namaste means namaha te. To you, I bow down. And when we say bow down, what means? I bow down to the Lord in you. That's why we greet each other with namaste. Because that means I bow down to the Lord in you. In some faiths, they meet with pranam. You know, it is the same thing, that I bow down to God in you. So here he says, I bow down to the Supreme Consciousness. Purastaha. Purastaha means in front. Atha prishtataste means in the front and back, left, right, east, west, north, south, all directions, up, down, everywhere you are. Namaha tu and astu. Nama astu, to whom? Te sarvata. You are everywhere. And eva sarva. And you are everywhere. And you are everything. Everything you are. And everywhere you are. Ananta viryam. Ananta virya. Ananta virya means endless power you have. God has endless power. That's why he said to be omnipotent. That means he is, all power is in him. And amita vikram. And amita vikram means endless ability you have, prowess. So you have endless power. All power comes from you and all abilities come from you. Whatever ability I have to speak, talk, walk, everything comes from you. Amita vikram astvam. Tvam, you are that. You are of extreme power. You are of extreme wisdom. Sarvam samapnoshi. And you pervade everything. Tata, therefore, asi sarva. You are everything. You are all and you are complete. And so what he understand that everything exists, right? The mountain exists, the bird exists, I exist, the computer exists. So what is existence that you are? You are that which exists as everything that is existing. You are the existence. So you are not only the visible, but you are also the essence. That's why in Sankhya, they say Purusha and Prakriti. So matter and spirit, both are one. Of course, in Sankhya, they say both are independent. But Vedanta says that whatever we see as matter and the essence, you are. And you are that which powers everything. Everything is powered by you. Everything is illumined by you. Every knowledge is from you. And you are everything. I heard a very beautiful story. So there was this third grader young boy named Josh, and he was doing the, they were participating in this Thanksgiving play. And so in the Thanksgiving, they showed the pilgrims, you know, how they came to the United States and how they established their, you know, colonies and all that. And so the first Thanksgiving in November, they were giving thanks to God for giving everything to them. And so they, you know, in traditionally they sacrifice turkeys. So Josh said, no, that's not good. You know, in our Thanksgiving play, we should not have turkeys being sacrificed because God is in turkeys. So they say, yeah, you're right. You know, that is true. Okay, how about we show the pilgrims fishing? You know, pilgrims will be fishing. No, 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 we can't be catching fish either. Why? Oh, God is in fish too. God is in life. You know, the fish is alive. The turkeys are, we can't sacrifice any animals, any birds, any fish. So what should we do? He said, we should collect nuts. So in that play, they showed the pilgrims collecting nuts from the trees and then eating a feast of nuts. So the point is that this young little boy could see that oneness, see that one consciousness, the one life principle in all. And that's what they say, it is unbroken. This consciousness is unbroken. There is no break. There is no akhanda. That's why akhanda mangalakaram vyaptam yena characharam tatpadam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I prostrate to the puja guru who has showed me this akhanda mangal, this unbroken consciousness, which is my own nature. And that is one has to understand very clearly that I am not separate. This consciousness that is everywhere is also part of me, is actually me, and I am that consciousness. So we don't have to think of God as being somewhere else, but as my essential nature, as the enlivening principle, the Atma, the consciousness. And that can happen in samadhi. When people go into meditation and their mind and intellect becomes quiet, then they merge with that infinite. And the Quran says the same thing, that Allah is in the east, Allah is in the west. Everywhere you see, you only see Allah. So the point is that the same ideas are there in all the scriptures. It is our foolishness that we fight, that my religion is superior to your religion, my religious book is superior to your book, or my building where I worship is superior to the building where you worship. These are all foolish ideas. When you understand Vedanta, then you know that there is only one consciousness, there is only one substratum on which this entire universe is present. And then talking about Ananta Virya, Ananta power, endless power, we all know Hanumanji's story, but I'll just kind of give a couple of points. So it is said that when Hanumanji goes to, you know, Lanka, and he meets Mother Sita, and then he gives her the ring, and then he says, let me enjoy some fruits. So he gets on the trees and breaks all the trees, eats all the fruits. And the guards try to arrest him, but they can't because he's so much more powerful. But then he says, you know, let me go see what Ravan is, how much power he has. So he allows himself to be captured by the guards. And he acts like he has been captured, and they capture him and they take him to Ravana and say, you know what, this monkey was destroying the beautiful Ashok Vatika, this garden, and we have captured him. So Ravan says, so why are you here? He said, I am a representative of Ram. He said, who is Ram? Ram is just an ordinary human. I know him. Hanumanji says, no, he's not an ordinary human. He is the supreme God who has appeared as a human. And that's what we are listening every evening from 7:30 to 8:30. If you log into the same site, you'll see the glory of Ramchandraji as explained by Swami Swarupanandaji, who is the worldwide head, and very, very beautiful talks. So log in this evening, say on the same site, 7:30 to 8:30, and you will hear about the glory of Ramayana, not only as a story, but how the inner journey can be accomplished through Ramayana. That's what Swami Swarupanandaji is teaching us. So anyway, so he asks, who is Ram? Yeah, Ram is the supreme consciousness appeared in the human form. I don't know any. I don't think he's just an ordinary human. Let him come. I'll just defeat him. I'll kill him. So then Hanumanji says, he says, why are you here? Hanumanji says, well, I am Ram's ambassador. I've come to talk to you. Return Sita ji and Ramchandra ji will forgive you. So he says, I don't talk to, you know, monkeys. He says, I'm not a monkey. I am Ramchandra ji's ambassador. Give me a chair to sit. He said, you can sit on the floor. You don't deserve a chair. You're not equal to even my courtiers. So he said, I'm not going to sit on the floor. So what Hanumanji does, he makes his tail long, 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 mm-hmm. so long that he sits on the tail seat, and he's even higher than Ravana. He's even taller than Ravana. He says, I'm above all of you. So the point is that that's power. Where did he get? And Ravana asked him, where do you get this power? He said, from my Lord Rama. And then Ravana tries to buy his allegiance. You know, he says, you work for me. He sees that this Hanumanji is very powerful. He's not an ordinary monkey. He says, why don't you work for me? I'll give you lots of money, lots of wealth. You can become one of my soldiers. So he gives him a pearl necklace. And this pearl, all the best pearls from the heavens and from the everywhere he had brought. Very expensive necklace. He said, you can have this necklace, and then I'll give you a beautiful palace and house to live in. So Hanumanji takes and bites that pearl and crushes it. And he said, then he throws it out the window. He said, you threw that necklace, all the courtiers are shocked. He said, don't you know how much that necklace is worth? In those days, you know, probably lakhs of rupees. It says it's a priceless necklace. Hanumanji says, it has no price in my mind. He says, why? He said, I bit on it and I didn't see my Lord Ram there. And if Ram is not there, this necklace has no value. And he threw the necklace out. And then Ravana asks him, where is this god Ram of yours? And then Hanumanji opens his chest and shows that in his heart, Ram and Lakshman are there, Sitaji is there, and Ram, 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 the word is coming. So the point is that Hanumanji shows that infinite power can be ours if we surrender to God, infinite wisdom. Hanumanji, even though he was, they considered him as a monkey belonging to the monkey clan, but he was a Brahma Jnani. He was a knower of truth. He had studied all the Vedas. He had studied the scriptures, was a great master with great power. So Ananta Viryam and Ananta Vikram. So great power and great wisdom is in Bhagwan. And if we surrender to that Lord, then we also become instruments of God. That's why Bhagwan says, Nimitta Matram Bhavasa Vyasachan. Just be my instrument. And once you become my instrument, all my power is yours. All my knowledge is yours. All my wisdom is yours. All you have to do is surrender, I and my. And that is what these three shlokas have told us, that God is of infinite power, infinite glory, infinite wisdom. And you and I have to work as his humble servants. And that is the message of these three shlokas, where Arjuna is surrendering to God and saying that you are the support, you are the abode of this whole universe. And all the celestial beings that we worship, fire, air, Brahmaji, the creator, Prajapati, even our parents, everything is originated from you. All the gods in heaven also get their power from you. And thousands of time, even if I don't bow down, even if I bow down to you, is not enough. So that surrender, that humility, we see these beautiful verses of Arjuna's devotion, and also how the highest Vedantic truth. So Arjuna had studied the scriptures before, but here it is not Arjuna, just the warrior talking, but Arjuna who is connected with the higher. That's what these Mahatmas, when they speak, when Gurudev and Guruji and all of these great teachers talk to us, they talk because they are connected with the higher, and great words of wisdom come out. And that's why we have to bow down to our Guru and to the Lord in humble surrender. So that's what we study from these three verses today. Thank you very much for attending. It's a beautiful opportunity we have to share this knowledge. And of course, it is Easter. It is the day to remember when the great Lord himself appeared in the form of Jesus and then was reborn. That means the knowledge was recreated. So that's why it is a special day, holy day for the whole world. And thank you all for joining us. So we have time. If there's any comments, any questions, anything you would like to add?
Anilji, Anji Hari Om, I have one question.
Yes.
You said that we do not see space and time when we are in deep sleep.
Yes.
So how we relate that when we are awake?
Okay, so what in the Upanishads, it is said that human beings go through three states: the waking, dream, and deep sleep. So these are the three states. In waking, I am perceiving the world with my eyes, ears, nose, you know, skin, tongue, all that. I am perceiving in the waking world. So in the waking world, I take in the world. I perceive the world and I take in all the data from the world. And then I act with my hands, feet, and all that. In the dream, I create my own world of illusion, but in the world, in that dream, I may find myself in the forest, or I might be in the airport, or I might be in the train station. So I create this world, and which is a complete world where there are people and I am there and I am. But in deep sleep, there is neither the waking world nor the dream world. And that time I am neither interacting with the world and nor am I creating a new world. But what they say that the consciousness is the same in all three states. And in Dakshinamurti, it says, when I wake up, then what I remember that I slept very well. So I had a good sleep or I did not have good sleep. Like somebody had a very disturbed sleep, only slept 3-4 hours, was going through a lot of stress. Then the person remembers that, or I had a very deep sleep, 6-8 hours, undisturbed. So the consciousness that knew I have praga swapsam iti prabodha samaye ya pratyabhignayate tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. So this consciousness that on waking up knows that I slept, that consciousness is the one I prostrate to. That is my guru, that is my God. So the point is that in this, what it says in all three states of consciousness, the waking, dream, and deep sleep, all three states that we go through in the day and night, the consciousness is always present. And how do I know that consciousness is present? Praga swapsam iti prabodha samaye. On waking up, I know that I slept well. So the knower of this deep sleep was the same who is the knower of the waking and the dream. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes. What kind of consciousness is in the stone? I think last time you explained, I missed out.
Yeah, I think the consciousness in the stone, what they are saying is that the same consciousness is there everywhere. It is Advaita, it's not two. But in stone, it only manifests as existence. The stone exists. Then in the plant, there is a very subtle intellect, very minimum intellect, because the plant knows it has to go towards sunlight. Then in fish, animals, birds, it manifests more. And in humans, it manifests as sat and chit, existence and consciousness. And then when I realize my infinite nature, then it becomes anand. So in stone, it only manifests as existence. In you and me, it manifests as sat and chit, consciousness and exist. Consciousness here, it means awareness. The stone has no awareness. You can hit the stone with the...
I think Sukshma consciousness.
Ji?
And did you say Sukshma consciousness aren't stones?
No, stone does not have the subtle body. See, you and I have the sukshma sharira, okay, or the subtle body, which is the mind and intellect, because of which I'm able to know the thoughts and the emotions.
It's
but the
like
stone
sunlight
doesn't.
Also. It's everywhere, but it only, you know, sun is reflecting only
in the
mirror or medium. It
right.
has to be a medium where the reflection
right.
has to
so
be.
So as Neeru said, sunlight is everywhere, but when you put a mirror and you put stone, the mirror will reflect the sunlight, the stone won't, because the stone does not have reflection, reflective ability. So same way, like the mirror, so same way the humans have the mind and intellect where the total consciousness manifests and reflects. But
that's
the stone,
how we get conscious.
Yeah, that's how we become awake, we become able to talk. But the stone does not have the subtle body, so it's not able to manifest.
Not pertaining to this class, but yesterday or last night during the yajna, Atma was introduced as a voice, and it says, I'm Atma, but you don't know me because you are negligent.
Yes.
You know, we often use the word in all our studies here, we've been using the word ignorant. So does negligent of ignorance, is that what they're talking about?
Yes.
Yes, that's true. Very beautiful talk yesterday, and how they introduced the concept of Atma, as how this Atma, the consciousness, or this Supreme Lord, manifested through Ved Vyas ji, then from Ved Vyas ji they showed Shankaracharya ji, then Tapovan Maharaj, who was Swami Chinmayananda's guru, Swami Chinmayananda Gurudev, Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda ji, and then now Swami Swarupananda ji, how this knowledge has been passed on from guru to Shishya to guru, down to our present head, Swami Swarupananda ji, who is our teacher. So very beautiful talk yesterday. So please log in if you missed yesterday. 7:30 to 8:30 on the same site. Today won't be 7:20, it will be 7:30. Yesterday we started 7:20 because the bhajans, the introduction was a little long. Today it will be exactly 7:30 to 8:30. So please log in. You can log in a few minutes earlier. You will listen to some beautiful bhajans by Guruji and then the talk by, and there will be a short introduction about each center. So each center is giving its own presentation. Today will be Chinmaya Mission San Diego. Yesterday was Los Angeles. And Wednesday will be Bakersfield, will be our turn where our children will be performing.
Natantro Suryapati na Chandra Taraka Agnima Vidutto Agnima Tatve Panta Manupanti Sarvatasya Bhasha Sarvamidan Vipati Arati Chinmaya Sadguru Ki Divya Rupa Marati Karuna Ki Arati Sadguru Ki Charno Me Unke Santi Samaye Sharnagat Ki Branti Mitaye Paap Taap Santaap Haran Ki आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया सूत नीति प्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरति सद्गुरु की सिद्धवाड़ी के तपोभूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद स्रोत की आरति सी चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरति सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की
गुड थैंक यू
नमाचा मनसेन्द्रिय वा उद्य आत्मना प्रकुते स्वावत करोमि अंदर संकल्पं परमेशं नारायणति समर्पयामि नारायणति समर्पयामि ओमस्तु मा सद्गयम तमसुतम सोमा ज्योतिगमय मृत्युमा अमृतम सुगमय ओम पूर्णमद पूर्णमिदं पूर्णाति पूर्णमदध्ये पूर्णश्रय पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवाश्रिते ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुदेव नमः हरि ओम
बोलिए श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की जय श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय